Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robinhood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are The White Tiger, Billy, and Preparations to Be Together for an Unknown Period of Time.
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Good. How long is the third one?
It's not as long as its title.
Okay, that's exactly what I was asking. Okay.
The title is the longest thing about it, but we'll get to that one in a moment. But yeah, three pretty good movies this week to talk about. The first one was called The White Tiger, which was directed by the very talented filmmaker Ramin Barani, who is a very, very good filmmaker. And he actually made a pretty smashing debut quite a number of years ago with a movie called Man Pushcart and then a movie called Chop Shop. And he's made a few movies since then. And The White Tiger, I would guess, is probably his most ambitious film to date, based on a pretty well-known novel. And it's a very interesting story that deals very much with India. It is about, the main character is a young man whose name is Ashok, and he is basically he is somebody who doesn't want to be a servant, but who has been raised to be a servant. All that he really knows about is how to be a servant, and so he decides he's going to be a really, really excellent servant. So as you can tell right away, this movie has a lot to do with social status, with class, with things like that. So there he is. He wants to be a really, really good servant, and so that means that if he possibly can, he wants to work for a really good, rich family. So he finds a family just like that, and through a little bit of chicanery, a little bit of deception, a little bit of wheeling and dealing, he manages to get a job as a chauffeur for this very rich family. And his job is to drive the young man of the house and his wife around wherever they want to go. So that's what it's about. And he gets into all kinds of adventures and misadventures along the way, as you can well imagine. And all the time, he wants to rise sort of in the world and make something more of himself. But what that always means for him is just being a better, cleverer, more successful servant, more successful chauffeur in one way or another. And various things come along, and a big crisis takes place when he gets involved in something that involves serious illegal stuff. And he finds himself willing to take the rap for this because he's going to be a really excellent servant. That's his whole aim and purpose in life. And then various things happen, and it turns out to not be as dire as one might have expected. But again, the movie has ups and downs of this sort along the way. It's a very, very well-acted movie. It's a bit long. It's over 2 hours long. But the acting is really, really good. The story is very involving. I certainly never got bored with it. And it has a whole lot of things to say about class and about social standing in South Asia, particularly, of course. The movie takes place in India. But then again, a couple of the important characters, namely the young man and the wife who our main character mainly has to drive around, they have recently come back from America, so they've been somewhat westernized, and the family itself has a lot of money, and this plays off in interesting ways against the basic poverty of the main character. So it's, again, it's an interesting movie. It raises interesting social issues, pretty much generally mostly in an Indian context, but we can certainly transpose a whole lot of the meanings of it to America. Ramin Barani is a very American filmmaker. So it's a movie I really recommend. It's really worth looking at. Involving story, very well acted, as I said, and with a whole lot of things to say and get you thinking about the meanings of money and social status and class, both on the other side of the world and in our own side of the world in America. Again, it's a movie with a whole lot of very international implications. Our second movie today, our three movies today, once again, our theme is to have no theme. Our second movie today has a lot to do also with social issues, but it's a documentary, and it takes place somewhat in the past, because it's called Billy, and the main character is the very, very great jazz singer Billie Holiday. And it is a documentary made by James Erskine, very much about her. And the movie has kind of an unusual structure, because even though it's a documentary about Billie Holiday, it's also a documentary about a young writer, youngish, not that young, who was involved in researching the life of Billie Holiday, and who died before she had finished this research project, died under somewhat mysterious circumstances. And we're introduced to this fact early in the documentary, Billie, that all this movie is based on materials that were gathered by this researcher who was preparing to do some biographical work about Billie Holiday. And this researcher made a whole lot of tapes and got together, collected a whole lot of photographs and other documentary materials about Billie Holiday, and then died. You have to sort of wonder why this researcher died, just what was going on. And you find out, this is going to be a little bit of a spoiler, but since the movie, I think there's no reason for the movie to withhold this until the end. It really has nothing to do with the life of Billie Holiday. But it seems, the movie suggests that the researcher had dug up some stuff that was very unflattering about some of the people who were involved sort of in Billie Holiday's life and who exploited her and treated her badly and stuff, and that this researcher may in fact have been in some way done away with by one or more of these people. Again, this is all just a subplot in the movie, and I think it's very legitimate to be there, and I think it's very interesting that the movie includes this stuff, but the idea of sort of keeping us waiting until the very end to find out what happened to this writer and why the writer died and if there's any connection with the life of Billie Holiday, I think is a bit gratuitous. But the movie is mainly about Billie Holiday, and therefore it is automatically a fascinating movie because Billie Holiday was a fascinating figure. To my mind, one of the greatest, musicians who has probably ever lived, a superb singer who had a tremendous control and a gorgeous voice and all of this, really hated to be called a blues singer because her repertoire went so far beyond the blues, although that was one of the things that she was very able to do. And what this movie does is to piece together the life of Billie Holiday in all kinds of different ways, through photos, through voice recordings, not so much with her, but with people involved with her. And some of the people who we hear about in the movie were Count Basie, another very great black musician who Billie Holiday did a lot of work with, Charles Mingus, the legendary bass player and huge pioneer of the bebop era. And that, by the way, is a measure in itself of how versatile Billie Holiday was, because Count Basie was one of the great swing musicians, did that sort of Europeanized jazz called swinging, and wrote symphonic music actually as well, whereas Charles Mingus was a pioneer of the bop revolution, did bebop and a very different kind of jazz from what Count Basie did. Billie Holiday was able to mesh with all these different people because she did all these different things. Tony Bennett is one of the people we hear from, a white musician, a jazz musician, and more I would say of a pop singer. Again, her career was so versatile that she was able to sort of mesh with all these different kinds of jazz musicians while carving out her very, very great and distinctive career. Now, she also had a very unhappy life in all sorts of ways. And here we get into issues that go way beyond Billie Holiday herself. Certainly the fact that she had to do with a whole lot of other musicians, including a lot of white musicians who ripped her off and exploited her in various ways, did not properly reward her for the fabulous work that she was doing and fabulously original work that she was doing, and then some men in her life. By that I mean just not just business acquaintances, but a husband, a manager, a this or a that, some of them white, some of them black, who also exploited her and treated her badly, and she was apparently very abused during periods of her life. She certainly had difficulties with drugs, which caused some really serious legal problems for her during the course of her life. And she, in her younger years, there were times when she was actually a prostitute because it was just a way of scraping together a living and that kind of thing. So it's the kind of story that one might expect a sort of a classic American, African-American jazz person to have. A lot of misery, a lot of unhappiness, a lot of exploitation, a lot of being ripped off. There are certain overlaps with this movie, with the current I'm not just going to call it a fiction film because it's based on a real person, but the current sort of docudrama film, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, based on the very, very great play by the very great black playwright, August Wilson. And that movie is out right now. And it's a terrific movie, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And that's sort of a semi-fictional counterpoint to Billy, which is pure documentary. But whatever the reason for these movies arriving at about the same time, I'm very glad that some of the great, great, great jazz musicians of all time are getting a whole lot of recognition in the movies at the moment. And also at a time when the movies, American movies particularly, are just barely starting to overcome a little bit of the longtime underrepresentation of black people in the movies. We have movies which in different ways are giving recognition to black people that is long overdue. Billy is a very good documentary. It's very conventionally made, aside from that subplot about the researcher whose materials helped spark the film. And it has a lot of really interesting talking head stuff in it and a lot of really interesting archival footage in it. And one other thing I'll mention is that Billie Holiday's most famous song was the movie Strange Fruit, which is, of course, a movie about the horrors of lynching. And the movie gets into that a bit, so you have to be prepared for that. There's some pretty awful photographs to be seen in it, but I think that's an era in American history which really has to be remembered lest it be repeated. And Billie Holiday was not only a singer and a musician and an artist, she was also a social activist, and that song is maybe the most vivid representation of that, and I'm very glad that it gets due recognition in this movie, as uncomfortable as that may make us feel. So Billie is in some ways an uncomfortable documentary, but I think it's a very, very good one about a figure who truly deserves her legendary status. And our final movie today in this jumping around to all different kinds of films is called Preparations to Be Together for an Unknown Period of Time. And no, the movie is not as long as its title. It's a really good movie. It's a Hungarian movie made by Lili Horvat, who is a very, very gifted Hungarian filmmaker. And again, we have a woman now who is really starting to develop a really major profile in international cinema. This is only her second feature film, although she's done some very interesting short film work. But this is, I found it just a wonderful movie, and I highly recommend it. It's about a woman named Marta. And at the beginning of the movie, I'll tell you one of the things that happens at the very beginning, kind of sets up the whole story for the film. She has an appointment to meet a man with whom she is apparently in love, and his name is Janosch. So we have Marta, who is the main character of the movie. Janosch is the most important secondary character. We have Marta going to meet Janosch on one side of this bridge in Budapest, and she gets there, and there he is, and she goes up, and she says, "Janosch, I'm so glad to see you." And he says, "Who are you?" And it turns out he's never seen her before in his life. And he walks away saying, "Sorry, lady, I don't know you, you know. Bye." And she collapses in a faint right there in this parking lot where she's finally found him after this long-awaited appointment. So what is going on here? That is the mystery that sets the movie in motion. And she then starts to sort of go after Janosch. And it becomes, in a way, I don't want to make this sound too ominous because it's not ominous, but it becomes a kind of a low-key stalker movie. And she's kind of skulking around and looking to see him and where is he and how can she get to talk to him again, stuff like this. And then little by little, parts of Marta's backstory start to get filled in. And we discover quite early in the movie, but to our surprise, that she is a really major scientist. She is, in fact, a neurosurgeon who has done important work in America and who has now come back to Hungary, partly because she met Janosch at a conference and just really wanted to see him again. So she gave up this huge, rising, glowing, sparkling American career as a rising young neurosurgeon to come back to Hungary and be with Janosch, who is also a neurosurgeon. And then it turns out he doesn't recognize her and has no idea who she is. So again, that is the mystery, that is the heart of this movie. It's a very refreshing movie in a lot of ways. By the way, the mystery does eventually get solved, yes. But it's refreshing because, first of all, it centers very much on a woman, Marta, who is the main character, and very much on a competent, brilliant woman, Marta again. And that is something we still don't see often enough in the movies. And secondly, it has a really interesting mystery going on. Just what is the story with these two? And we get to know both characters better. And we get to find out a little bit about what motivates them. And ultimately, the movie, the mystery is solved. Now, one of the criticisms that some people have had about this movie, preparations to be together for an unknown period of time, is that when the mystery is solved, which is nearly the end of the movie, it's less interesting than the mystery itself was. And that often happens with movies that are built around some sort of enigma. Once the whole thing gets explained, it stops to be so interesting. But that doesn't happen until nearly the end of the movie. And then there is a very, very mysterious and fascinating ending to the movie. It ends on this very enigmatic final shot, which I just found fascinating and which opens up all kinds of questions where there could be a whole other movie to come. So I really, really like preparations to be together for a very long period of time. The main actress, Natasha Stork, is just wonderful. All the acting is wonderful. The story is engrossing. It's a very insinuating romantic thriller that really got under my skin and kept me thinking for a long, long time. We showed it as a virtual screening at the cinema club that I moderate in Washington, D.C., and the audience was very, very interested in it. So it's not just me. It's a really good movie, and if you want to spend an unknown period of time with a movie, I recommend preparations to be together for an unknown period of time, because it's really just one of the most interesting and intriguing and just got under my skin movies that I've seen in quite a long while. So that is my quite varied story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you very much. As ever, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films The White Tiger, Billy, and Preparations to Be Together for an Unknown Period of Time.